Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, God, for your word, God. We thank you that in your word, God, we can see your care, your compassion, your zeal for your people, God. How much you love all of your creation, God. That not only did you send your only son to come and pay the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate price, so that we could be with you, not just now, but for all eternity, God. But you still are faithful to hold fast to all of the things that you pour out upon your people, day in and day out, and how you care for us, God. Your word is provision, and we thank you for it in our lives, God. We thank you that we can see how much you'd pour out these things through your word, God. So, Father, I pray that your people would be ready to receive that which you are pouring out today, that would receive these good and wonderful gifts from you, God, and we would carry them throughout the rest of our lives, God, that we may be faithful in applying this to our own lives and to the lives of others as you lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. And I want you guys to hear a little bit about what the Lord's saying today in his word, because one of the things that I realize we have in our lives is we have a problem in this current area of the world. The United States is a great country. There's no argument. However, it is really, 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 really in a bad spot, because though this nation was founded on godly principles and godly things, because of how advanced and great and powerful we've become, what comes with that usually? Comfort and ego, right? You start to smell yourself a bit. And one of the things that has taken over in this world is called consumerism. Does anybody know what consumerism is? The want and need of lots of useless things, right? Pretty much. Okay. We will take this wonderful tool known as money, and we will use it for a lot of things, not just the things we need, but a lot of things that we don't need. But that's not what this is about today. But I want you to keep in mind, however, where consumerism plays a role, because today what we're going to talk about is something that is very, very unique, but is most commonly misunderstood in the church. And that is blessings. How many people like blessings? Not many. No hands. Why? Why are you not raising your hand? You don't like blessings? It's not a trick question. You don't like blessings either? Oh, okay. I didn't see your hand. I'm sorry. He doesn't like them, though. I don't understand. You'd work on him, Beck. Yeah, you didn't raise your hand. I know you can raise it. Okay. So you're just too tired to raise your hand. Okay. I'll let it slide. The thing with blessings is how great are blessings to receive them, right? Blessings are fantastic, right? We love receiving blessings. And I think there's something that's really neat about what blessings are and how they come upon our lives. But when we understand blessings, we usually understand blessings as favor, right? As receiving favor, right? But when it's applied to today, and like I said, going back to where we live in our country and how things work, this is not necessarily the same favor, right? That favor in another country looks very different than it does here. We see that as what? One's ability to have wealth or money, right? And that money then has allowed us to buy a whole bunch of stuff, and then we deem that person is very blessed, right? They're very blessed. They have a lot of things, right? But Jesus taught us in Matthew, right, that those who are blessed, right, the Beatitudes, are who? The ones that have all the stuff, or the ones that have little or nothing, right? Blessed are those who are meek, right? Because they shall inherit the earth, right? Jesus gave us a very interesting principle about that blessing, or that being blessed is not what we think it is, right? But even in this, We don't even have a really good interpretation or understanding of being blessed or having blessings, because what Jesus told us made it seem like, oh, well, then I need to be miserable and have nothing. And that's being blessed. But that's not what he said. He was giving us this counter-arranged thought that led into what would be here today. He knew, right? Because he knows everything that's going to happen, right? He knew a country like the United States would exist that would be so focused and riddled with the things and consumerism that it would not want to part with those things, because those things would be the blessings. Whereas the blessings are actually found in the little or the less of things that we have. Okay? So the question then boils down to, what are blessings then? Right? And also, where do they come from? Because right now, we see in a society like here, that blessings are things that you provide for yourself. Or that somebody else has provided for you. Right? Your kids are blessed. Right? We say that translates to spoiled. Right? Yeah, right? If your kids are blessed, they're spoiled. Right? But think about that, right? Blessings are not really what we see them as, or we don't even see the source or the reality of where they come from an actual good perspective, right? So let's correct something very quickly. True blessings come from one source, and that source is God Almighty, God the Father, right? He pours out blessings, right? But there's an expectation. Believe it or not, blessings are conditional. And you probably never knew it. But like, wait a minute, God's love is, with his blessings, conditionalized. But we don't think that, because we think God is so good that God, out of an abundance of love and a heart of compassion, that he would do what? As a good father would do, would give good gifts, right? Right? We see that in Matthew and in Luke, right? So we understand that God will give us good gifts, but we think that that's just because he's so good and he's so generous and kind that he's going to do these things because that's his benevolence. That actually is his benevolence. Because do you deserve it? No. But he still will do it, but there's a condition attached to the blessing. But we don't think that. We just take the blessing and we go, thanks, God. But then there comes a point where we go, hey, God, what about this or what about that? And then he goes and he points back to the blessing. And you go, oh, that thing? Oh, I used that up years ago. Oh. So what do? The reality of the condition is that blessings are given to us so that we can do what with them, Ryan? Thank you. You are blessed so that you can bless. The purpose of the blessing is not to be consumed, but to be utilized to bless others. 1 Peter. And I'm going to go to the other verse while you're there. So if you guys get to 1 Peter, not a lot to read there. Says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reveling for reveling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Right? You have one more after that, I believe, right? Last one. Verse 12. Yep. There you go. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And you can go back to the first part in Peter. I want you to focus on this. But right here, it says, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. See, God is very specific. And when he tells us certain things in the Bible, what we do is we tend to just focus on the part that that benefits us. And we ignore the other part. But the reality of this is, what came first? You receiving the blessing, or you giving the blessing? No. Because he says that we're to have all these things. Love his brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reveling for reveling, but rather blessings. That means that we're supposed to distribute blessings. And in doing so, we will inherit a blessing. The word may inherit a blessing is the key. May. You will get that blessing as long as you are giving the blessing and not returning the things that are not deserving of a blessing. Think about that, guys. Right? Because this is in counter to everything in your DNA and your nature. Because when somebody gives you not nice things, what is your immediate response? To give that back. Right? But that's not what God is telling you to do. And furthermore, he is attaching your blessing to your behavior in this very moment. Why this time of the year? Well, because I think a big product of consumerism is ungratefulness. Because what happens at Christmas time is you're very grateful for the things you get, but you don't want to give because that costs too much money. Nothing like a kid who wants the most expensive gift on the planet. Right? Especially when you can't afford it, right? Okay? Because, man, that's an expensive gift. Stop putting money values to the gift. What's important? And I love this. Well, my kid wasn't really good. Oh, is that the reason why you're not going to bless them? You should want to give good things to your children. It doesn't matter. But isn't that spoiling the child? What's the condition? Are you teaching them the lesson about blessings, or are you filling their need for consumerism over that? The reality is that what we have lost in the church, listen and hear what God is saying, is the art of teaching ourselves and others about actual blessings. We've lost it. We've made it about exchanges. We made it about equal gift giving, right? Something that really burned me up a long time ago came from one of my brothers. He calls me up before Christmas and he says, hey, what were you planning on getting me? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't really know what you want. And I was like, probably like a gift card to go out to dinner, because I know you and your girl or whatever like to go out to certain places. Well, how much were you going to spend? I don't know. Like, how much is it for two people to go out to dinner? This was a while ago, guys. $50. So I'm like, yeah, I don't know, $50 gift card. All right, you keep the $50 you were going to spend on me. I'll keep the $50 I was going to spend on you. There you go. You don't have to worry about it. That's from us. Huh? What? Now, logically, you go, oh, yeah, I mean, that makes sense, because I'm going to change a gift card for a gift card. I mean, that kind of just seems really odd when it's just money in, money out. It's a wash. I get the logic. But that really burned me up, because that's not what it was about. It isn't about trying to equal it out. It isn't about it trying to be a balanced equation. It's about wanting to bless somebody and give them something without expecting something in return. I wasn't looking for him to get me the same thing back. That wasn't the point. But when it was my blessing was robbed simply because his idea of that was simply, well, it's a wash anyway. And I wasn't able to bless him. But I want you to really hear what God's saying. And the first thing to understand, or to get a knowledge of this, is to really truly understand what a blessing is. Because we don't really truly understand what a blessing is. And I like this, because this is something that really, really baffles my mind. Because some things about God are very mysterious, and there's a word in the Bible that you very, very infrequently find. And that is the word happy. It's not very common. Because there's a lot of things in the Word of God and His creation, and especially us as His people, that we find ourselves associating with Christ, right? And bearing the weight of that sacrifice, we carry that on our lives daily, right? Right? That's what we're supposed to do. And that's a life of what? Sacrifice. And I don't know about you guys, but it's not always being happy when you have to continue to sacrifice all the time. And so we have this adaptation of sacrifice and not equating happiness with sacrifice. How many people feel what I'm saying? Because sacrificing is never usually a joy-fulfilled moment. But that's not joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. We're not talking about joy. Joy is something deeper. Happiness is something not even superficial. It's something very temporary, very human, and very much for the immediate and current spot. So that's why we don't see a lot of it, because a lot of things in kingdom, a lot of things of God are eternal, right? But you do see a lot of the word blessings. Amazing. What does the word blessing mean? It is a gift, benefit, or advantage. That which promotes temporal prosperity and welfare or secures immortal felicity. The key to this definition is the word felicity, which is extreme happiness. Blessings are meant to give you something good that makes you happy. God actually wants to give you good things to make you happy. God wants you happy. And He wants to give you good things to make you happy. Are you serious? Yes, I'm serious. God wants His people happy. Do you know why? Because God delights in us. And we should delight in Him in the same manner. Nothing is worse than going to church and seeing a bunch of miserable curmudgeons that are so miserable because they love God. I love God. He's the best. Oh Lord, we beseech Thee for Your tender mercies. How many people have been to church and felt like, y'all need jolly? Like, you just need to wake up and get into the spirit of good things that God has given you, right? But I get this, right? Because even in the modern church, which we kind of are a part of, we're not that weird modern church. We're here. We're true. We're Bible believing, right? This group here even get into it too, because guess what? You guys come here and for some reason you put up with me yelling at you and making you feel like crud every day. And I'm not trying to. I'm just giving you the truth. But the truth just keeps smacking you all around in the face and you're leaving going, oh my gosh. Word was good, Pastor. Walking out in bandages. I'm like, y'all look like you got beat up. And it's like, well, but why? Because we mess up and we feel this disdain on ourselves because we do things that aren't according to His Word. And we don't really understand the good things that God has given us because we focus so much on the other side of the coin. But God is consistently pouring out blessings because He wants us to be happy. Why? Because people that are happy are fun to be around. And God wants you to be around people and people to be around you. Why? Because you are a connection of God to them. And if you're miserable, nobody wants to be around you. So He blesses you. So you'll be happy. So be happy. Blessings promote happiness, right? And the counter to evil and reveling is happiness. Think about that. If you are happy while committing evil, you are a twisted person. Right. Think about that. Right? There's no happiness to be found in committing acts of evil and misery. If that person finds happiness in that's a deranged mind. Yes? We shouldn't see that. Right? That's unnatural. But that's born out of actual selfish ambition. It's not something that God has created. It's something that's interdwelling, right? That's a personal thing, right? People that find that usually have that personal derangement, but there's also, there's a self aspect to it. They're looking to the gratification of themselves in that wickedness that they're performing. It's not to the benefit of another. Right? But this gift of blessing comes from God Almighty in the fact that we were called, right, as it says in Peter, to be a blessing, to bless. But also, if you don't, what's that mean? Where does he stand with you? What's Peter tell you? Is he with you? No, his face is against you. So this is a really important thing then, church. Would you agree? Because I go, wait a minute, Peter's after, right? So this is post-salvation, right? Post-Jesus. We understand the Messiah now. We understand who we have in Christ Jesus as salvation. We know who we are in the kingdom because of his position with God. So I can claim my place at the throne, right? I can claim my seat with Jesus all day long. But if I am not commanding a blessing from the blessings God gives me, I am in opposition to my Father, even though I have a position. Are you serious? I'm serious, church. It's that important to God. Why? Why is that? Well, here's some things to think about, right? If the blessings are promoting happiness and the blessings are coming from God Almighty and we're doing this, right? There's a lot of correlation to the rejection of evil in the blessing. Think about it. Every blessing you pour out is contrary to the evil that is going on around it. You literally have the authority and power to command a blessing into somebody that actually cancels out evil and wickedness. It's like that little light of yours. But here's the thing. The reality of what makes the opposite side, right, of not doing that and why God's resistant to you, or that resistance that faces against you, is not because you didn't have, it's because you chose not to. Because God has given it to you already. So the only reason why you're not doing it is because you're just withholding, because you believe that the evil and the wickedness that that person has committed is undeserved of a blessing. I ask you this, were you deserving of anything of goodness of God that he gave to you when you were in your evil and wicked ways? So then why do you withhold blessings from other people just because you don't like what they said, or you don't like what they did, or you don't like the fact that they said something mean to you earlier today? It's not a good enough reason. Doesn't matter. Right? Why? Because we understand a concept known as forgiveness, right? And we understand that there's nothing under the sun that is unforgivable that we should be able to turn away from and look to the other side and still command that blessing. But the good news is that when you do that, guess what you get? You get more blessings. So what do you got to lose? Literally nothing. But you got everything to lose if you don't. You're against God. You don't get blessed. And evil will continue. That's correct. But what keeps us from doing that? What makes us choose? Right? Say you have food, extra, and you can spare it, but you just choose not to give to somebody else who needs. Why? Why would you not do that? Doesn't God say something about if your brother is naked, that you give him what? You give him the clothes off your back, right? I think that's in there somewhere, right, church? But does that come into consideration when you get that opportunity about whether or not they deserved it? Is that in there? Only if they deserve it, then give it to them? Does it have anything to do with maybe them actually having money? Well, they can afford it, so they don't need me to give them. I'm actually harder You know, I have a harder run right now. I'm not making that much money. So honestly, I shouldn't have to go and pour out a blessing on that person because they have stuff. They can take care of it. Is that a reason that you shouldn't do it? No. Here's a great one. Well, we come from different, you know, places. So if I gave them something, they probably wouldn't appreciate it because we're different type of people. Is that a reason? How about skin color? Doesn't matter, right? How about age? Well, they're older. They don't need stuff. Yes, they do. They might need a kidney. Right? You gonna give them your kidney if they need it? You don't really need it. They might need it. A blessing is given with expectation of enriching the life of another. Happiness is a byproduct of this, and the extra benefit we gain for giving that blessing is a blessing that we receive for blessing others. So we give something to enrich another person's life to make them happy. We get something in return that makes us happy. Sometimes you know what that blessing is that you get in return? How many people have kids that when they gave them that gift that they really wanted, the light of their face just overwhelmed you with excitement and joy and happiness? That was your blessing. That was your blessing. But if you were so focused on how much it cost, guess what you missed? You missed the blessing. You missed the blessing. God set this condition, though, a long time ago to enshrine himself as the provider of happiness to his people. Believe it or not, God delights in his creation. Amen? What's that verse, Jonathan? God delights in those who delight in his creation. Right? He pours out good things as a father does, which we already stated that as well, right? If a father who is evil can give good things to his children, how much greater are the good things that our Father in heaven will give to those who love him? Right? However, if we do not value these things that he gives us, we try to supply blessings for ourselves and our offspring, and the abundance we give is basically all about stuff. Becomes the byproduct is that you just have a bunch of stuff that doesn't make you happy for a little bit, and then not so much. The issue with this is the heart of man seeks its own and will withhold those blessings when the time comes. Because we in our core are selfish in nature. And so what happens is as though we receive these things from God, we think they're intended for us and we consume them ourselves rather than give them away. If we give from what God supplies, and I want you to hear this, if you give that which God supplies and you give it off, are you ever without? No, because you never had it to begin with, right? It came from God and it went. I never had it. I'm just handing it off. Right? So we don't get that feeling if we have that mentality. Right? Because we can't exhaust God. Amen? It's impossible. Right? Can't outgive him. Can't exhaust him. Right? If we have that mentality, we will never withhold a blessing, and in turn, we become blessed ourselves. So the Father of blessings is laid out for us in Deuteronomy 28. How many people are familiar with this section of scripture? Only one of us. Good. Deuteronomy, not usually a favorite place to people to read the Bible because, you know, tends to be just rules and laws and things like that. But this is really interesting because this talks about blessings, but it talks about it in conjunction with a very key component. Remember I told you that this is conditional? Well, here's the condition, church. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, say, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Condition is what? Obedience. Obedience. God set this condition way back when. Did he change? Nope. Oh, well, wait a minute though. I was under the impression though that when Christ came, he fulfilled the law, the prophets, and all this stuff. That's not what this is. This is not a law. Not in the sense that you think it's a law. Because God still commands obedience. He commanded obedience to Christ. Right? Because Jesus had to fulfill the prophecy. In order to do so, he had to obey that which God has predestined and set forth, which was that he had to walk through the entire process of going to the cross. And we know, because we have the word that reveals to us that even in that moment, when he offers the cup to God and asks him to take it away from him, that we know he didn't want to go through it all if he could have another way. But God said this is the way it had to be. He required obedience, even of himself. So why should we get off the hook? Why do we feel as though we don't have to do that part? The reality is that you do, and it's required. So obedience is the requirement. Right from the beginning. And if we do, verse 2, and all these blessings, say blessings, shall come upon you and overtake you. What does that mean? Can you handle it? You won't be able to handle it. It's so overwhelming, you will not be able to handle it. How many people want that blessing? Nobody? Nobody wants that blessing? Okay, good. I was just making sure. Okay, so the many blessings of God are right here. And we're going to get to them in just a minute. But they're forgotten. Why? Well, we just kind of outlined it, right? How many people want to go and read Deuteronomy? Why don't you want to read Deuteronomy?
It's really boring and dry.
Yeah, but you know what's wrong? Is that it's not being taught, church. It's not being taught. It's being discarded because we have a New Testament doctrine that we run around and we fluff it up with Jesus and put a bunch of lights on him and make him parade around as though he's the only way, and therefore all the Old Testament stuff doesn't matter. Well, Jesus is the only way. That's true. But the character of God still matters. And you can't just skip that part. Because you will not understand a single iota of the teachings that Jesus brings without understanding the character of the Father. Because he specifically says he did nothing unless he saw the Father do it first. Jesus was submitted to the character and the will of the Father. And so therefore we follow in those steps. We must also know the character and the will of the Father. So you can't do this without knowing this stuff. But if it's not taught, church, you're not going to learn it. And I want to give you this today, but I want to also put this on you, that you don't leave here today and just go, oh, that was a really good teaching, Pastor. No, I want you to teach your children. I want you to teach your kids. You want to know why? Because they're not going to know how blessed they are in a world that is only interested in stealing it away from them. Think about this, church. When we go through Deuteronomy, you're going to realize how much you truly have in God that God gives to you because he wants you happy and he wants you blessed and he wants you enriched from him. But you have a world that is hell-bent on taking it all from you and making you ignorant that you don't have it to begin with. And that's what the world and our own government wants to do now, is make you think you don't have it. They are the possessors of it. My God says no. My God says he has given it to me, not to them. So, what say you? So God tells us that obedience is the requirement. Right there at first verse. One, he requires obedience because in order to understand the blessing, you need to understand the person who is given the blessing. Because if not, guess what you're going to think it is? You're going to think it's supernatural. You're going to think it's nature. You're going to think it's because of what I've done. You're going to think it's because of my hard work. How many people like their job? How many people understand you only have it because of God? But the other reason he commands obedience in this particular case when it comes to blessings is because you as a carrier of the Son and the connection to God Almighty the Father has to represent him well. And you cannot represent the full character of God if you do not understand that he wants his people to be happy. If you understand that, guess what you will desire? Guess what you'll want? You will want every single person you come in contact with to be happy. Because you understand that by me presenting that happiness outward, right? I love this, by the way, because today this is jolly time now, right? You can't come into my house. You can't come into some of these people's houses. If you're miserable, stay out. You're not coming in. You got to put that smile on. You better be jolly. All right? It's jolly time. But guess what? This should be our norm all year long. We shouldn't have to wait till Christmas to be jolly. We shouldn't have to wait for an opportunity to exchange gifts to want to bless people. Because we are representing our great and wonderful Father and His happiness that He enriches our lives. We want to enrich everybody's life and make them happy around us. After all, I don't know about you, but I understand misery loves company, but I like being around happy people, don't you? Because they make my life better. And if I can control that by giving these things that God has given to me to those else, guess what? I'm actually projecting the character of God into every other person's life. I am letting people see how God truly feels about them. I'm actually showcasing the heart of the Father. Think about that. And then that God is also revealed to everybody else that the source of my happiness is not in the things I have, but in the one who gives them to me. And I'm letting everybody know that I am grateful for my God because my God has provided this for me. And I wear it proudly on my face. How many people thank God every day for all the things that he gives? Start a good habit. Start thanking them every day and carry it throughout the day. Don't just do it in the morning. But let's explore the blessings, right? This is cool because now we're going to kind of just go through it real quick. Blessed, verse 3, shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the country. What's that mean? Guess what? No matter where you go, you're going to be blessed. Doesn't matter if you're in a high rise or you're in the country. Amen? Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. This is talking about your food. God's going to bless you with food, Jim. I know that makes you happy. How many people are happy with food? Do you understand God gave you food? He gave you all of the livestock, all of the plants of the earth. Everything is at your disposal. He gives it to you. Right? And you go, well, wait a minute, my supermarket gives it to me. Well, just because they don't thank God for how great it is that they are able to produce all those things, and yeah, they keep raising the prices of everything, and that sucks, and we don't like all that, we can find a whole bunch of things to grow and won't complain about. Do you know what blight is? Do you understand that if we stop thanking God for the provision of food that we have, that something called blight could come and literally kill all livestock, kill all plants? kill every single thing that produces life on earth. How does that happen? Well, because evil takes that place. But you should be thankful. And God gives you all of that food. Amen? Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. What's that talking about? It's real simple. Bread. You can actually have bread. Bread's good. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. That means you'll be blessed in your home, and you'll be blessed when you're traveling. God will take care of you. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. I love this one. Do you want to know why? As a military person, you should probably love it, right? Because you had your own encounter with this, right? The enemy's going to try and come and get you, but guess what they're not going to do? Succeed. Because God's with you, and he has blessed you. And that blessing is that any attempt on you is going to end up with them going out the other way. Praise God. We need more like true believers in Christ to march out in the Lord. Why? Because God's not going to let those things happen. Look what's happening in Israel. Just saying. God's with them. Amen? The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which your Lord God is giving you. Guess what that means? Your work. He's blessing your work. He's blessing your job. Praise God. One of the things I learned a long time ago is that it's really easy to get wrapped up, especially if you're working for somebody else, to see how great they're doing and not how great you're doing, and to become envious or jealous of that. But you know why that is? Because you're not thanking them for them. Because if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't have a job. It'd be like, well, they're not really a great person. Doesn't matter. God used a donkey, right? God's still using donkeys. He just gives them higher places of employment, unfortunately, sometimes. Okay? But God's still using them, amen? Because they're still helping bless you. Because God's still commanding the blessing. And he's taking that authority and control, amen? He's in that realm too. I love this. The Lord God will establish you as a holy people to himself, just he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. So that means, again, that obedience, right? Keeping his laws and his commandments, right? But he's establishing us as a holy people. That means he is recognizing us as not just a people, but a very special people to himself. That he is in the midst of. That's what that holiness represents, right? That means he'll be with us. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground. Did you notice he's saying that again? Why is this repeated? Because it's a double blessing, because those who are going to try to do harm, not only will they lose what they were trying to use against you, but it will be to your gain. Yep, it's the double blessing, the firstborn. That's correct. Yep. Right? And he swore to give to your fathers to give to you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure in the heavens to give the rain to your land in season, to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. That tells me that not only is he going to bless your work, but he's going to bless it even when other places and other people are going to have hurt. This is why I love people that get panicked about the stock market and their investments. Did you thank God for it? Then why are you worried? Because, oh, well, it's going down. Yeah, everybody else's is going to go down. But you know what happens when everybody else's goes down? You know what they start to do? They start to sell. Do you know what happens to yours now? It goes up. Oh, amazing. How'd that happen? Because God is in control. Amen? He's commanding the blessings. Right? And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. This is something I think gets lost on every single person. You have to understand the blessing of knowing who you are in Christ and your seated position is a blessing. God did not have to reveal this to you. But he reveals it to you, so why? So you understand that in your position comes also the authority. That's a blessing, church. You have the authority to speak things that aren't, and they become reality. God blessed us with that. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, or to go after other gods and serve them. Why is that last verse there? Because what do you think happens? Go back to the beginning. Consumerism. Consumerism is a god. It is a god that indoctrinates the provision from oneself. And your ability to do it on your own. Making yourself the most valuable person in your life. God is deserving of all glory. Amen? God is deserving for all provision. All things come from the Father. Amen? And when we go and we worship another God for those things that He is the only provider for, what do you think we're doing? What do we end up doing? We end up looking to someone else or something else to take his place. And church, here's the funny thing about that. We start to lose our happiness. We do. Think about all the times you got wrapped up with the money machine. How happy were you? Got wrapped up with the money machine. Money was good. Money, 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 money. And then all of a sudden, just starts to fade away. Money doesn't make you happy. Why? Because it's not the blessing. The blessing isn't the money. The blessing is the happiness that God gives through the provision and the things that you can have and do. This is something unique, church, because what I want you to take from today is an understanding of the blessing. God pours out blessings upon you. But to maintain those blessings, it requires you to do something. Obey and give. That's it. Obey and give. And I'm like, well, I already gave to you, pastor. You didn't give to me. You gave to the church. I'm not asking for you to give money. That's not what this is about. But this is about learning how to give without expectation. It's learning how to give because you truly want that person to be blessed and be happy. And you want to know what's really interesting about this? And this is the last food for thought. Let this one sit in your pot and stew for it. I have a lovely family here. And I'm very blessed because I know you all very, very well, don't I? How do I make you happy if I don't know what makes you happy? Guess what I need to do in order to know that? I have to invest in you. I have to invest in you. So think about this, church. If God is commanding you to obey and to give a blessing to those who really don't deserve it, and you're entrusted to make them happy, what do you think you need to start figuring out? What's going to make them happy? And I want you to know something that's really amazing about God, is if you really do understand and you let Him have full reign here, surrender. Full reign. Let Him have it. and let him command blessings in your life, you know what's really interesting? The moment you find out what's going to make that person happy, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have what they're looking for. It's unbelievable. But I can't tell you the amount of times where I could tell you how it's impossible because I don't have is the key word. I don't have. But God. And somehow I'm able to make that blessing go into somebody else's life and their happiness. And guess what? Somehow after that, I have. And I can't explain it. Look, I understand math pretty well. But I know when you have zero, it's hard to get a positive number out of it. Amen? Like you got zero, so how am I getting this thing to there, but God, and then somehow, afterward, there's numbers there. Because God is in control. And blessings are His domain. And this isn't something that's new, church. But it's something that He commanded a long time ago over you. And honestly, if you taught and you were taught this more, guess what you'd stop letting other people have authority and control over? Things that God said, I have given to you. Not government. Not them. Not this person. No, God has. And I'm giving Him glory. Amen. And I'm going to rejoice in what He's done for me. Amen. And then I'm going to pour them out into those who I know because they need to know the love of God through these blessings. Amen. So church, I encourage you. Be blessed and go bless all those people that you know need to hear and know how good God is. Amen. Amen. God, we thank you. We thank you for these gifts. We thank you, God, that you show us through your word, how tremendous these gifts are to you and how much you want to pour them out upon your people, God. And these blessings are so tremendous and overwhelming, God. They do overtake us. They flood into every area of our life, God. So let us start by becoming more grateful, more thankful, more appreciative to the areas that you have commanded these blessings in our lives, God. And let us be quick, God, to want to give. To sow those blessings into the lives of others, God. To allow that happiness, God, to be expressed so that people can understand truly how great and how awesome you are and how much you delight in your creation, God. So Lord, lift up our hearts and lift our eyes to you so that we can see all the good things you are pouring out. And we can pour them out into the lives of others. Have your way. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.